All right.
All right,
we're done. Okay, so we're on okay. So remember, we're recording. Okay, so we're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph on the fourth line. Everybody with me? So we said Sofar Shmora. So we said the Zman for Kriyat Shema is until the end of the first Hashmora. The first Hashmora is the end of the first watch. Zachary?
Yeah,
I hear some noise at your end. Could you, whatever's doing over there, can you quiet it down, okay? So, Sofar Shmora, so he says, so on line four, on Gimel Amud Aleph, so Zman Kriyat Shema ends at the end of the first watch, which we said was 4 hours, so if it's a 6 to 6 day or night, so it would be 10 p.m. So, Mike Sava Reb Lezer, what does the Tan Reb Lezer hold? So the Gemara is going to explain this, Machloket, are there three Mishmarot during the night or four Mishmarot? And Mishmar means, like in Shemayim, the watch, the Malachim have a different watch, you know, change of the guards, like they do with London, maybe with the change of the guards there, so in Shemayim they also have a change in the guards. Mike Sava Reb Lezer, Ik Sava Shlosh Mishmarot Havei Laila, if he holds that there are three Mishmarot during the night, Leimad Arba Shod. Why does he just say, why is he going through this whole thing with the Mishmarot? Why does he just say, it's till Arba Shod, till 4 hours into the night is when it ends? V'iksavar, one second, I'll pause periodically for questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? V'iksavar arba mishmarot havelaila, if he holds that there are four mishmarot during the night, in which case it would be 3 hours, leimad shloshot. Okay, so why does the Tana Rebbe Lezer, why doesn't he say more directly what he means? In other words, what is he playing this thing with the mishmarot? Just say that the sobsman kriya shema is either 3 hours or 4 hours into the night. What does he have to play with this thing with the mishmar? So the Olam Ksav are Shlosh Mishmarot Abed Laila. No, he holds that there are three Mishmarot during the night. Bahak Mashmalan, Vika Mishmarot Barakia, Vika Mishmarot Ba'ara. What he's teaching me, alluding to, is that there's a way to discern when the end of the Mishmar is. If I'm here on earth, there's a way that I can make observations and tells me when that time concludes. Detani, we learn in the Braisa, Reb Lezer Omer, Shlosh Mishmarot Havei Laila. The Tana Reb Lezer says there are three Mishmarot during the night. V'yalku Mishmar, Mishmar, Yosheva Kadosh Baruch Hu V'shoei Kari. And on each Mishmar, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is roaring like a lion. It means Hashem is upset about the Korban Beis HaMikdash. So each roaring represents the conclusion of a different Mishmar, which we'll see. Yosheva Kadosh V'shoei Kari, Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Hashem Yimarom Yishah. There's going to be three shags here. So it says in Yirmiyah, Hashem, from the heavens, he'll roar. Usually shag is usually associated with a lion. Hashem yirom yishag, umo'on kocho yitain kolo, and from his holy, you know, place, he'll give forth his voice. Sha'og yishag al naveyu, he'll roar concerning naveyu, his makom, it means for the Beis HaMikdash. V'siman ladavar, now here's the key, the siman for the davar is, mishmara rishona chamor noer. The first mishmar, a donkey brays, shnia klavim tsoakim, the second one dogs bark, shlishi tinok yonek mishneimo, the third mishmar a child nurses from its mother, and then v'ishama seperidim balo, a wife discusses with her husband. So the Gemara will explain. My kachashiv Reb Lezer. Now, what is Reb Lezer? How is he? In other words, he's talking about simanim, and we have three mishmarot. So, are these simanim at the beginning of the mishmar? Are they at the end of the mishmar? And in the middle of the mishmar? How does this work? My kachashiv Reb Lezer. Eat chilat mishmarot kachashiv. If he's, in other words, he gives us three simanim here, right? So, concerning the first mishmar, it's chamor noer, like a donkey brays. And the second one is klavim sokim. The third one tinok mishneimo. So the Gemara says eat chilat mishmar kachashiv. If he's making a cheshbon concerning when the beginning of the mishmar is, so he says chilat mishmar rishon siman alamali or tohu. Why do I need a siman for the beginning of the first mishmar? In other words, I know at seisa kochavim is man kriyat shema. So why do I need, if the siman is, so the first siman is that it's chamor noer. So why do I need a siman then? I just look up, I see that the it's dark enough, I can read Kriyat Shema. Isof mishmar kachashiv, if on the other hand, he's giving us the simanim for the end of the mishmar. So it would be the siman at the end of the first mishmar, siman at the end of the second mishmar, siman at the end of the third mishmar. So he says, sof mishmar achron lamali. Why do I need a siman at the end of the third mishmar? The end of the third mishmar, it's already like getting bright outside. I see it's the end of the time. So simana is normally simana yamamahu el chashiv sof mishmar rishona. So rather, the Gemara says that the Tana Reb Lezer in the Braisa is giving us a siman. We're around 20 lines down on Gimel Med Aleph, Robert. He says, so the Tana is giving me a sign for the end of the first Mishmar. That's the Chamor is nowhere, the donkey is braying. Utchilat Mishmar Achrona, and then the last siman, which is the child that's nursing and the wife discussing with her husband, that's the beginning of the last Mishmar. In other words, again, we'll do like a 6 to 6 night, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So the end of the first Mishmar, we said that Reb Lezer holds our three Mishmarot during the night. So the end of the first Mishmar would be 10 p.m. So we say at 10 p.m., a chamor is nowhere, a donkey brays. And then he's saying, at the beginning of the third Mishmar, which is 2 a.m., that's when a child like suckles from his mother, a husband discusses with his wife.
The Klavim Tzoakim.
No. Please just wait. I got it right. Okay, just wait. Okay. Then he gives me the siman for the middle one of the middle Mishmar. In other words, at 12 midnight, that's when the Klavim are barking. That's when the dogs are barking. So we think what he's telling us is, so the Tana, Reb Lezer is saying, there's a certain Zman for Kriyat Shema. We know it begins with Seisa Kochavim, and then it ends, according to him, at the end of the first Mishmar. But he's telling me, I don't have a watch, wherever I am, so I should listen to the donkey braying. That's the time for the Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. All right, now, let me just do a few more lines, we'll come back. Or else I could say no. They're all talking about the sign at the end of the Mishmar. So the first Mishmar was the Chamor Noer. That would be at 10 p.m. Then the one at 2 a.m. would be Klavim Tzoakim. The dogs would be barking at 2 a.m. And then at 6 a.m. would be the child nursing from the mother and the husband discussing with the wife. He says, "V'chitei ma'akrona lo tzarech l'mayin nafkamina." So we don't need the last one because it's already daybreak. So we don't need it for l'mikri kriyat shema l'man degani b'vayit afel v'lo yad hazman kriyat shema emat. So the last one you need, let's say you're in a room with no windows, you don't see whether it's bright or not or what's doing outside. So you look for those simanim, and that's telling you that now it's already the zman for the kriyat shema in the morning. He says, "Came at the isham separating v'ala v'tinokio nek mishteimo leikum v'likri." Now it's time to recite the morning kriyat shema. Now, these mishmarot also have other significance in halacha. They're very propitious times to pray for the korban beis hamikdash. We see that a kadosh baruch hu is shoeg, like he's crying out during those times. So when the mishmarot are mishtanot, those are the most propitious times to pray for the korban beis hamikdash or to pray in general. Now, you know that some people like a slichos, right. Now with slichos. So, like the Rav would do slichos at 10 p.m. at night. That's not a time that's taken like a feather out of a hat. In other words, that's a time when the mishmarot are mishtanot. In other words, that's brought down in Sifrei Chassidus that the mishmarot are changing at 10 p.m. That's what you saw at the end of the first mishmar. That's a propitious time, like to cry out to Hashem. That would be the way that would work. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts?
Wait.
One. Let's do it earlier.
Go ahead. That the first two simanim are something if you're in the house you can hear from outside, whereas the third siman is something that you would only notice in your house if you have a tinok, if you have a wife. And
well, it certainly fits in with the answer of the Gemara at the end, like if in case you're, it says you're b'bayit afel, right, if you're I don't know anything more than that. What do you want to say, Mark? What's your Hebrew name, by the way?
Mordechai.
What do you got for me, Mordechai?
I don't understand why you can say it could be 4 hours. That's only on two days a year would be four.
No. It means Shaud Zmaniot. Shaud Zmaniot means, however, let's say sunset is at 8 p.m. and sunrise is at 4 a.m. So then the night would be 8 hours.
Right.
So 8 hours.
And then divide that into 12.
Or you break it into three parts, four parts, whatever. But right. That's the way it works.
The length of an hour changes.
Right.
A little bit.
Right.
Okay. I thought you were saying three hours, four hours.
Okay.
No.
Just making it simple.
So you're saying with the Rav, saying at 10 o'clock, but 10 o'clock may not be a change of mishmar.
Yeah. So this I don't know.
10 o'clock is like
right. Yeah. The only I don't know for sure, but it could be that some might hold that we'd follow just what the clock has. I don't know what, right.
You're dividing it from 6 to 6. He's making it say
every day
six.
Is an equinox.
No, I don't know with clarity exactly what the Rav held like 10 o'clock with that. It could be, I'm trying to say, it could be that, first of all, slichos frequently are approximately in the fall. It is around the equinox. I mean, when right. slichos, I mean, the equinox, I think, September 21st, and slichos may be 2 weeks before them, so it's approximately where it would be. But it could be that the Rav held, or that Shita would hold, that you don't, that you could follow just like the clock, you know, to determine the hours. But we'll see. Any other questions? What do you got for me, Yosef Zev? That's it, Yosef Zev, right?
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
man. I like the name. Go ahead.
Okay.
And your grandfather used to come study here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the last person who's at 6 in the morning, that he's waiting for the woman,
right.
the woman to speak with their husband, but how is, let's just say it's a man alone in a basement, like how is he?
Yeah, if he's alone, go down to the room, the basement doesn't help you. But if he's in the room next door and he hears all these, the couple, I hear them knocking and trying to create this morning, I know it's the time. You know, that's what it means. That's what it means.
Okay. There could be no help.
Right. If no, all right. All right.
I have one question.
Yeah, what's up?
Based on what you said yesterday, I think it says Machlok Rishonim, what Rav Elazar holds, whether or not he holds that it includes the Mishash Akwanim Nichnasim Lachol B'Chumasim Ad Sof Hashmar Rishon.
Right, the Gemara itself says that.
So,
right.
says Gemara, so it's a Machlok. How is this Gemara explain that based on, because this Gemara is only talking about the Ashmar Achas. In other words, how
no, 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 let's go back. So there's no question. In other words, the first opinion in the Mishnah says, what's the time for Zmiyat Shema? So Mizan Kohenim Nechassim, Atzofar Shema Rishona. There's no question, Atzofar Shema Rishona is that's Dibre Reb Elazar. Everybody agrees Reb Elazar says that. The only question is, does he say, is he the only one who says, is he the one who gives that first time?
Or is the Tanakhama also group?
Or maybe a different Tana who's saying that.
Well, whether the Tanakhama is.
But either way, the Tana of the Mishnah says it's from
right.
it's from.
So how is this Gemara? This Gemara is just interested in Rav Elazar. It's not interested in the. Because
right.
basically, it's, right. it seems that the, if you look at the Mishnah, the Lashon of the Mishnah, is that they're connected. That the that is Adash Moraha.
Right.
So you would think that the first Tana would hold, just like Rav Elazar. This would be.
Wait, no, I'm losing. What's connected with what?
That this. It says.
What do you say? This. What is this?
No.
Let's go back again. So again, we said the question of the Mishnah is, what is this about for Kriyat Shema?
Exactly.
Now, there's a beginning time and an ending time for Kriyat Shema. So the Tana of the Mishnah just gives us one opinion that Seisa Kokavim is the time for Kriyat Shema.
Right.
Then the last times. Each one has their own opinion.
Right.
Right. So now Reb Elazar says...
Okay, so you're saying that Sof Zman Krishma is only... This is according to Reb Elazar that says that Ad Sof...
Hashmar Rishonah, okay. Right.
But if you hold that they are smart based on how you interpret that, you could say it could be up to Chatzos if you interpret either based on the beginning of the Hashmar. Remember, we said either it's based on the Simon, or the beginning of the Hashmar, or the end of the Hashmar.
No. You're mixing Kasha with Mun again. The fact that the Hashmar are ending... That, in other words, that is the Zman that he says. That's the end B'Shach Lecha. But he gives you other Simanim to tell you when the Ashmora is. It doesn't mean if there's not, like, the middle of Ashmora, nobody's, in other words, the fact that it's Chatzot in the middle of Ashmora,
right.
that doesn't relate to any of the Shitot for Kriyat Shema. In other words,
he's giving you Siman for what reason?
I mean, he's giving you the Siman. You could follow this. And it'll tell you when the end of the Ashmar Rishona is. That's what he's talking.
So why would he give you a Simon for Emtzais? Why would he give you a Simon for Emtzais?
So it, that, in other words, you want to say that what do you want to say?
I don't understand it.
Yeah, in other words, those Simanim could be Simanim. I told you what are propitious times to do Tachanunim Takadosh Baruch Hu. But it doesn't relate to with Kriyat Shema. The only thing that relates to Kriyat Shema, according to Tan Reb Elazar, is the end of the first Ashmar. That's the only thing that relates to it. And the last Ashmara also.
Okay.
But otherwise, okay.
Quick.
What's up? Yeah, we got to go.
Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying.
Right.
At those ends of the Mishmaros?
In particular, right.
Not all night, just.
At those moments, he in particular is crying. Okay, now, let's go further in the Gemara. All right. Let's take a look. All right. Okay. So I'm looking. One second. We're up around midway down on Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, we're around 10 lines above where it gets wide. Okay, so Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei the Rav Shlosh Mishmarot Havei Lailo. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel says the name of Rav that there are three Mishmarot. That's like the Tan Reb Lezer. Ba'akul Mishmar Mishmar Yeshiva Kach Baruch Hu Shoei Kari. At each Mishmar Hashem is like crawling, like roaring, like a lion. Va'omer Oy Lebanim Shematem Hecharavti Beiti. what are the children, my own children, the Jewish people, because of their aveirot, I've destroyed my house, meaning the base of Mikdash. The Seraftid Heichali, I burnt down the Heichal, which is like the covered structure in the base of Mikdash. Viglitim Levein Umot HaOlam, and I've sent them into exile among the nations of the earth. I mean, as a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he, like Kivyachol, feels our pain. Like Imo Anochi B'tzara. All right.
And this is only heard in the Marom. Only heard up in the Marom. It's not heard, on ours.
And it depends how attuned your ears are. Okay, now, let's see. The 8 lines from above where it gets wide. Okay, now, you know, there's a whole piece from the Baal Shem Tov, like on, you know, it says, B'chol yom v'yom bat kol yotzei d'machrezet mihar chorev, that every day there's a heavenly voice that says, Oy lahem l'briyot mi'ol b'nashol Torah. So many of the Mefarshim ask, so have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard? So there's a piece, Rav Simon quotes this from Degel Machane Ephraim, who was the grandson of Baal Shem Tov. He says that, his answer is, he says that when a person has hirhurei tshuva, like he feels moved, like to like change his path, he's like attuned to that sound that's coming from Har Chorev. So it means it could be that, like, you know, if you need to get your ruchnius antenna out in order to hear this. Okay, now, so 10 lines before it gets white. So Tanya, Amar Biosi, Pamachariti Mahalik Baderech. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi says, once I was traveling on the Derech, Benechnasi Lechorva Chatmi Chorvot Yerushalayim Lepaleel, I entered one of the ruins in Yerushalayim to daven. So Eliyahu Navi showed up, and he waited for me by the entranceway. And then in parentheses, which usually means you take it out, and the Rif takes it out. Behim Tinli, he waited for me. Siyamti Tfilati, till I finished my Tfilah. Lachar Siyamti Tfilati, after I concluded my Tfilah, Amarli Shalom Alecha Rebbe. He said Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Ba'amarti Lo Shalom Alecha Rebbe Mori. He's giving proper kavod for Eliyahu Navi. Ba'amarli, he said to me, B'ni B'nei Ma Nechnas L'Churva Zu. Why did you enter this churva? Amarti Lo Lehit Paleo. So I said, I'm just here to pray. Ba'amarli Ayalakan Lehit Paleo Baderech. He said, you should have prayed. Welcome. You should have prayed on the way, on the pathway. Ba'amarti Lo Mitireya Yiti Shema Yafsiku Bi Ovrei Derachim. So I said I was afraid that people would interrupt me over there. You should have davened tefillah k'tzarah. So Rashi says 10 lines from the bottom. That's tefillah havinenu. So havinenu we'll have later on masechta. It means you daven the first 3 brachot of Shmona Esrei, then the 13 middle brachot are combined in 1 bracha, and then you do the last 3 brachot. Now Tosos over here, and this Rabbi Simon Wolf was speaking about this today also, Tosos initially questions that pshat, but in the end he agrees with Rashi that it's tefillah havinenu. So back in the Gemara, on the second wide line, so at that moment I learned 3 things from him, and it's frequently in the Gemara, it always comes in threes. Lamadati she nichnas in the churva, I learned that it's improper to enter a churva, we'll see. Lamadati she mepalim baderech, I learned that you can be mepalil on the derech, on the way. Lamadati she mepalil baderech mitzvalot fil kasara. Okay, v'amar li b'ni, ma kol shamata b'churva zu. He said, what did you hear when you were davening in this ruin? V'amarti lo shamati bat kol shamanahemet kiona, I heard a heavenly voice that was cooing like a dove. V'omeret, what are my son, my children, the Jews, because of their aveirot, I've destroyed my Beis HaMikdash, I've burnt down the Heichal, and I've sent them to exile. But Amar Li, and Eliyahu Navi said to me, Chayecha v'chaye roshcha, he took like a lashon shvua, lo shazu b'var omerikach, not just at that moment when you davened, el b'chol yom v'yom shlosh pamim omerikach. Every day, Hashem says it 3 times a day. One second. He says, "Velo zobuvad el b'shashi yisrael nechtasim b'tekenisi l'v'tei midrashot, v'oni niheshmei hagadol mevorach." When we enter the base medrash and answer to Kaddish, may Hashem's name become magnified. Sparkle menaneiro show. He like tilts his head. V'omer asherim el shemakalsim tov beitokach. Portions the king who was praised this way in his Beis HaMikdash, Rashi learns. You know, what are the father that sent his sons into exile, and what are the children who were sent into Galus? Now, with this whole Shaklavatarya, in the art scroll they quoted from the Kotev, is one of the Mefarshim on Yaakov. He says like this, that when it says that, let's go back into the story, when he says, L'chor v'zum, he says, Amarti lo lehit palel. In other words, that the Tana Rabbi Yossi is the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. He's living after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. and after the whole Bar Kokhba rebellion falls apart. So he says, in other words, like he's saying, like he thought Rabbi Yossi he's praying, he's got tainas against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that Hashem has destroyed the whole base of Mikdash. In other words, nichtas the churva, the way the Kotev understands it is more metaphorically. Like, why are you nichtas, the churva is the base of Mikdash. Why are you nichtas to daven, to address Hashem about this matter? And so Amarti lo lehit paleel. He says, no, I'm not like questioning. I just want to miss paleel that Hashem should restore the base of Mikdash. I'm not questioning why he did it. So Amarti lo lehit paleel baderech. So he said, you should be in paleel baderech, means you should pray for the Jews that they're okay on the derech now, that they're in galus. Like, don't focus on the ultimate picture. Focus on getting them through the tsaras that they're in now. So I was afraid that they're not going to make it through the derech. So that's why I'm trying to do it this way. You should have done the tsara. Anyway, that's the way he develops the whole piece with that. Now, with Yeheshmei Rabba, there's a famous Tosfos, which we're going to do right now. And let's see the Tosfos. Now, one thing, I want to look one thing quickly. Give me one second. So he says that three times a day. Where is it? Three times a day that the heavenly voice says that. That's the end of each mishmar that's happening. Mm-hmm. At the end of each mishmar, Hashem is like wailing about the churban beis hamikdash. Okay. Okay. Now that's not the way they explain it there, but it could be other pshatim. I don't know. Now let's look at the last Tosfos, and we'll be on our way. Okay, va'onin yehesh mei hagadol mevorach. So Tosfos says mikan yesh tashtor mashapirish machzor vitrei. Now the machzor vitrei was a famous. It's one of the. It's an important work for the history of sidurim. It's like there's a whole. You can have a whole specialty studying the siddur. The history of the siddur, what's in the siddur. So the machzor vitrei was composed by one of the talmidim of Rashi, Rabbeinu Simcha. So he composed the machzor vitrei, and if you look at the machzor vitrei, it helped. Anyway, so he says. So Tosfos says. So the Machzor Vitri says, what does it mean, Yehesh Mei Rabba? The Machzor Vitri says, Yehesh Mei means the Shame Yud Ke. In other words, Hashem's name is Yud Ke Vav Ke. Four-letter Shem Hashem. So in the Kaddish, the way the Machzor Vitri understands it, Yehesh Mei, let the Shame Yud Ke be Rabba, be enlarged, become magnified, and be a full four-letter name Hashem. Like there's a pasuk in Bishalach with the Melcham of Amalek. So the pasuk says Kiyadol Keska Melcham Al Hashem VaAmalek Midor Dor. Shloyeshmo Shalem Bekiso Shalem. In other words, case is kisei. In other words, case is the throne of Hashem, but it's not spelled out. In other words, Kiyadol Case and Ka is the Shem Hashem, but it's also not the four whole Shem Hashem, just the two-letter Shem Hashem. So he says, Shlo yehi shalmo shalem b'kiso shalem ad shimachet zaro shal amalek upirusho kach yehi shemei shem yud kei rabba. So the way the Machzor Vitri understands it, when we say Kaddish, yehi shemei rabba, let the Shem Hashem be rabba, klomar shanu epalim yehi shemo gadol v'shalem, that Hashem's name should become complete. That's the way the Machzor Vitri, yehi. So there's two clauses. So one clause is yehi shemei rabba, let the Shem Hashem become increased, be a four-letter Shem Hashem, which will happen when Amalek is destroyed. Amalek represents, evil in this world. So when Amalek is destroyed, so it'll be like Mashiach Zeiten, like that. So the Yehi Shmei Rabba, let Hashem's name be complete in the world. And then there's another clause, Umavarach li'olam umaya, Umavarach li'olam havitfila cheret, klomar Umavarach li'olam haba, that Hashem's name should be blessed in the world to come. Right? So again, so the way the Machzor Vitri understands Kaddish, or the refrain in Kaddish, is Yehesh Mei Rabba, pause, and then Mubarak Lama Mai. Yeah, I have these sheets, by the way. If anybody didn't get these sheets, these are like source sheets for Doc. Let me just pass them around or whatever. Here you go. You got a whole bunch. Okay, now. So let's see further now. In Tosfos. Everybody with me in Tosfos? Okay, we're 10 lines from the bottom in Tosfos. You have Robert, you have the Tosfos, by the way, Robert? Okay, okay. Bezelo nira. So Tosfos says I don't agree with that pshat. Mi dekamar hacha yemehi shemei hagadol mevorach. So in the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? Four lines from the bottom. Ba'oni yehi shemei hagadol mevorach. So the way the Master Vitri said yehi shemei rabba, right? And then here's mevorach is like hanging loose. He says mashma the tefila achari. It sounds like that's all one tefila. Ve'ino rotzel amar she shemo gadol v'shalem el yehi shemo hagadol mevorach. I think Toso says it's a different shot. Yehi shemei rabba mevorach. Let God's name be blessed. This is a different piece now. Now, one, you know, can you do me a favor, friend? Can you just get me the Mishnah Berurah Chelek Aleph? You can take the blue on the second shelf from the bottom. Okay, on the go right. Yeah, thank you, Aleph. Okay, thank you very much. Wonderful, Bruchatihi. All right, thank you. All right. So now let's finish up the Tosfos. V'gama she'omrim ha'olam l'kachomrim kadosh b'shon aramid l'pishat filin no'eva shevak gadolhu alkenit kam l'shon targum shul yavinu amalachim. So he says it's like margal abafumi d'inshi. People say, why is kadosh in Aramaic? We only have a few tefillin in Aramaic. Why is kadosh in Aramaic? So people say it's so the malachim will not be able to understand the tefillah. The Malachim don't understand Aramaic. That's what they understand all languages, but Aramaic
except
they don't.
English.
Well, no, English they understand.
No.
But okay, wait a minute. Aramaic not. Okay, let's all focus. One second. Now he says, the Yumit Kaninbano, they'll be jealous of us that we have such a beautiful tefillah. V'zeino not nira. So Tosa says, I don't think that makes sense. Shrei kamat tefillot yafot shein b'lashon ivri. We have some beautiful tefillot in Hebrew. We don't say, let's translate that to Aramaic. Ela nira. It's rather, Tosfos says the reason is, like the Gemara explains in Masechet Sota, the world is exists now based on the Kedusha de Sidra, means the Kedusha we say in Uvalet Zion, and Yeheshme Rabba da Gadata, means the Kaddish people say after a Gadata. You know, we have a Kaddish de Rabbanan, there are like five different types of Kaddish. One type of Kaddish is Kaddish de Rabbanan, all cell phones on vibrate, please. So the Kaddish de Rabbanan, you should be only said after you hear a Gadata. So like usually, like rabbis will say, after they speak, they'll say, Rebbe Tanan ben Kachal Meir, Ratzach Baruch Hu, because they want to say some Gadata. He says, Shayu regila lomar kadosh achar hadrasha, v'shami yumei ha'aretzot, v'lo mivin mekul ha'mashon ha'kodesh. So he says that the... they would say Kaddish. The rabbi would give a drasha, and then they would say Kaddish afterwards. But not everybody was such a Talmid Chacham. They didn't understand Hebrew and things like that. So he says, L'chach tiknu b'lashon targum, shu kol mevinim shezehu l'shonam. So they did it in Aramaic, so everybody should understand it. That's the way Tosfos says. All right? All right. Now, let's just say a little bit more about this, and then we'll...
Can I say something?
Yeah. So the simple pshat I would say is that Aramaic is sort of like a Hebrew that's been corrupted. You know what I mean? It's a Semitic language, but it's like sort of like Lashon Kodesh, but a little corrupted. So I think that's why
corrupted?
I don't do corrupted Lashon Kodesh. Like it's either Kodesh or Chol. They don't fermish things. That's what I would say. But now, one minute.
I once learned the reason why it's an Aramaic.
Which is
also.
What?
The Hishmei Rabbi is an Aramaic page of Baruch Shem.
Right.
And we can't say Baruch Shem out loud because then the Malachim will get upset. So we say it in Aramaic.
So they don't. So that's interesting. Okay, it's an interesting idea.
It's not quite a direct translation, though.
All right. All right. Now.
And by the way, there is one Malach who speaks Aramaic. And whoever Yosef. Whoever came to Yosef
All right. Okay, let's go over it. The Mechaber brings down Shulchan Aruch and Siman Nun Vav and Orach Chaim. He says Yesh L'Chavein Baniyat HaKaddish. A person should have a lot of kavana when he responds to Kaddish. And then he goes through both Shitot about whether you can interrupt between the Heshmei Rabba and Mubarak or not. But among other things, he says, like, first of all, you want to have full kavana and you want to answer loudly. And then he says, one second, he says, v'choshkein shetzarikli zaher ma'od ma'od shol la'asiyah be'emtza kaddish or kedusha. A person has to be very careful not to talk in the middle of kaddish or kedusha. We can eat the mesechet erek eretz, the Rabbi Chama ashkel Eliyahu v'kama alfei gemalim, that Rabbi Chama encountered Eliyahu Navi, and there were thousands of camels with him. The camels were loaded up with anger. So what it means, the Hashem is not happy when he's speaking Kaddish. Now, the Ketubah Sefer Chassidim, he quotes the Mishnah Berurah does from Sefer Chassidim, which is a work from the Middle Ages. One chassid, now this chassid is not like our chassidim, like the followers of the Baal Shem Tov, it's the chassidei Ashkenaz, like it was like a religious movement in the 12th and 13th century in Germany. And Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was like the one of the foremost personalities in that. So he says there was an incident with one Chassid, a pious person, saw the Chassid Acher b'moto panav b'rikot. He saw in his dream, he sees another Chassid, and this person who passed away, his face was green or yellow. Amarlo lama panecha morikot. What happened to you? You look terrible. Amarlo neshayiti me the berishash sibraya omer vayachulu, because I was busy talking when the shlichtsud said vayachulu birkamay in a boat uveyit gadel, and I was talking during kaddish uveseifer matay Moshe siman tapiyadalup sevi b'shem medrash shechamachad netroel tamid b'chalom. One chacham appeared to his tamid in a dream. V'atamid shelo ketem itzchol. The tamid sees that the rebbe has a stain on his forehead. V'amarlo neimai relachon. Why do you have a stain on your forehead? Amarlo neshlo. He says, I wasn't careful about speaking during Kaddish. Shura says, even to think, to contemplate, Divrei Torah is prohibited when the year Kaddish is being said. Some people think if I have a Sefer and it's Divrei Torah, it's like I'm in a whole different zone. Like nothing matters because I have Divrei Torah. I can talk in the Chazara Sashats with Divrei Torah. I can do whatever I want during Kaddish with Divrei Torah. 1 minute. He says, Anyway, the point is that, you know, a lot of people, we'll see in the Gemara in a few days, I think even later this week, there's a pasuk the Gemara quotes, Krum Zulut Levnei Adam, that like some things that people think, you know, some things people think are so unimportant are really very important. You know what I mean? Like some people have everything vermished, and you know, it's unfortunate, but you know, a lot of people think Kaddish is nothing, and the Kaddish is being said, they can just schmooze and talk about the baseball game, but it's really, that's one of our holy tefillot. What do you want to say?
Isaac Minimitzvah, Potter Minimitzvah. If I'm sitting and learning and hearing Kaddish, I have to get up for Kaddish?
Let's say you're davening Shacharis. Right, you're with the tzibur.
Then I shouldn't be listening while I'm dying.
Right, you should be listening to the Kaddish. That's what it's saying. Okay, now.
You should not yell at me that I say too slow.
All right.
Then it would seem that it's important for the klal to know what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't remember ever yelling at you for saying Kaddish too slow. Okay.
So for Tosfos, we should allow people to say Kaddish in English.
But I got.
I don't know about that either. Okay, No. He says, why were they mitakin in Aramaic? He's not saying that they said you could be mitakin in any language.
But if they don't understand the language.
All right, now let's see further in the Gemara.
Yes,
okay, we're moving on. Okay, please excuse me. On Shulchan Gvir, we got to move on, otherwise we will not finish the daf. The way the daf works, one daf a day. This is the way it works. Okay, so we're... we're two lines. And I hope people will tell me whether... if anybody listened to the tape or whether I should even bother taping these things. So two lines from the bottom. Okay, now, Tan Rabbanan. Now, the Braisa says, having brought up the issue of the Churva, and I've heard a pshat, I couldn't find it today, I heard a one pshat that the Churva was actually the Beis HaMikdash, I heard a pshat like that, but I didn't see it in any of the Mefarshim today. So he says here, two lines to the bottom, Tan Rabbanan, for three reasons you should not enter a ruin. But they chashad. One is people might suspect that you're having a tryst with the zona there. He says because the zona would never meet you in the regular place; it'll only be there. Today, with our society, today our society has gotten a lot worse, I think. But they am a polet. The other is that the thing may collapse on you. But they am a zikim, because mazikim, which are these like spirits, these forces in the world that are going to harm you. Now, the Gemara takes it, that's the end of the Braisa. Now, the Braisa mentions three items, so the Gemara takes it, I need all three items to support the idea that I can't enter the Churva. So the Gemara says, Mimnei Chashad, but typically Mishum Mapolet. Why do I need Mimnei Chashad? If I just have Mimnei Mapolet, I know that I can't enter it. In other words, I'm afraid the thing's going to collapse on me. Why do I need about the Chashad, about the Zona? So the Gemara says, Bechadati, because it could be that it's like a recent ruin. In other words, a new structure wasn't built so well, one wall collapsed, but the other walls are strong. So I'm not afraid of it collapsing on me, but I still have to worry about the Chashad. But typically, Mishum Mazikin, but the Gemara says, can't Mazikin cover that? In other words, what do I need the reason for, what do I need the reason for Chashad? Why do I need the reason for Chashad? Isn't there, won't Mazikin cover me? So the Gemara says betray, that he's entering the structure with two people. So with two people, the mazikin stay away from two people. He betray chashad nami leka. So if there are two people, what chashad is there? In other words, if I'm with somebody else, is there a chashad? So he says betray uparisi. So it means like there are dinim of yichud. So with yichud, a man should not be alone with a woman. But if there's another man there, so you can get by, preferably you should have two men there. But that's only if they're erlich mentioned. They're like from people. If they're a pritzim, they go to strip clubs or something. That's not anything to help you with. That makes it worse. So the Gemara says, so I need all three reasons, because he could be with another person, and it could be a recent down structure, where I'm not afraid of collapse because of the physical structure, but I'm still worried about chashad. People will suspect me of having a tryst with a zona. Okay, now the second line. But then I'm a polet. The Tana of the Braisa says, I can't enter the churva because I'm afraid that it'll collapse on me. So why do I need that reason? But typically, Mishum Chashad Mazikin. Why can't I have Chashad Mazikin? That'll cover me for that. So the Gemara says, betray Uksheri. Because he could be walking in with two people, he and somebody else, and they're both kasher, they're both from people. So I know Chashad there, and there's no Mazikin, I have to worry about it. But Mapolet, I still have to worry about it coming down. And you remember that the Gemara in Kiddushin says that there was a certain like area, like I think it's the end of Chavtet and Beis, where the Gemara says Rav Hanuna entered a place and there was a shade there, and the shade was so strong that even with two people would come, he would strike the person. Okay, now Mivnei Mazikim, line 4. Mivnei Mazikim, you can't enter the Churva because of the Mazikim, these spirits that will attack you. But typically, Mishum Chashad Mapolet. Why do we need that? Why didn't I say Chashad Mapolet will cover me with that? So he says, so the Gemara says it could be that he's entering a fresh ruin, which I'm not afraid of the physical structure, and he's working with a friend and everybody's kasher. So, but I'm still afraid of mazikin. Ibetray mazikin nami leka. But if there's two people, there's no mazikin problem either. So, but mekoman chayshinan. In certain places, mazikin are very strong and very prevalent, and there, that even two would be around. Even with two people that would come. The Eboid Aim, or else I could say, Li'olam Bechad, I could say it's one person, scratch the previous answer, who Bechorva Chadati, but we're talking about a new Chorva, Dekai Bedabra, which is standing in the field. The Hata Mishum Chashad Leka, there's no Chashad, that Yisha Bedabra Lo Shchicha, so again, it's a churva chadati. I'm not afraid of my polet. It's in the field. The zono don't hide out in the field, but the mazikin I have to worry about. Okay, let's go on to Gemara. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, Arba Mishmaru Havilayla Divrei Rebbe. So here's the machloket we've referred to in Amud Aleph. Rebbe says there are four Mishmarot during the night. Rebbe Natan Omer Shalosh. Rebbe Natan says three. So Rebbe Natan, we saw already that Rebbe Lezer agrees with Rebbe Natan, right? And we saw also, I think we had the opinion of Rav earlier, and he also, or else it's coming up, and he also holds Shalosh Mishmarot. Now, my time is Rebbe Natan. What's the reason for Rebbe Natan who holds that there are four Mishmarot during the night?
This team.
What?
Not the
whole three. Yeah, it's three. I'm sorry. You're right. Three. So he says, right, I'm sorry. Three.
Okay.
He says, my time to Rabbi Natan, Dechtiv, by Avot Gidon, Umea Isha Shari Tobak Tzea Machaneh, Rosh Hashmor Da Tichona. Now, Gidon, remember, everybody maybe remembers from Shoftim, you know, if you go to yeshiva, it's in fifth grade. I don't think the syllabus has changed since I was a youngster. But so Gidon comes, and he's got thousands with him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't need so many thousands. And he's going to go to war with Midian and all the people. And he says, you know, dismiss some of the people. So he dismisses many thousands. Then he has them drink the water. And the ones that were drinking water, like over the Avodah Zarah, dismiss them also. So at the end of the day, he's left with 300 people. You know, this is for you, Oday. There was an individual in Eretz Yisrael many years ago before our time in the 1930s, Ord Wingate. Everybody
sure.
Here?
Wingate.
Yeah. Well, right. So Ord Wingate, his father was a minister. He was in the British Army, Ord Wingate, but he instructed like the Palmach, like the Jews at that time. They were defending themselves from Arab attacks. So, but he took it like the Bible. He thought was a good guide to military philosophy. So he what he took from the incident with Gidon. So Gidon has 300 soldiers, and with those 300 soldiers, he's able to attack and chase away the Midianites. There's a famous case with this. Please, just give me 1 minute. I'll open up the floor for conversation in 2 minutes. Okay, so. There's a famous Supreme Court case, Gideon versus Wainwright. Right? So there's a book, Gideon's Trumpet. I think it's about the right to counsel, right? Gideon versus Wainwright. It's
right. The history of getting it up to the Supreme Court.
Right. So the book was Gideon's Trumpet. But in the Chumash, so Gideon is with his 300 people. He says, I blow the trumpet, we attack. So Ord Wingate took it that a well-trained small force could overcome a much larger force. You know, even if the, and so that philosophy, you know, carried through to the Israeli army after he was killed during World War II. I think Churchill called him, he thought, the most brilliant, I don't even know if he was a general, what a tactician. I don't think he even got to be a general. Okay, let me just, what did you want to say before, Odin? Okay, now, by a vote, Gidon, Omeg, Isha, Shirito. So Gidon divides forth in three groups, each one 100 each. Shirito, B'Kseim, Achaneh, Rosh HaShmora Tichona. He's at the beginning of the middle Ashmora. Tana to Nebraisa, ain't Tichona Sheshit Fanela Chorea. Middle has something before and something after. So I see from the Psukim that there are three Ashmorot. That's pretty good Raya. So Verebi Mai Tichona. So Rebbe, who holds that there are four Mishmorot, how will he explain the Pasuk? Verebi Mai Tichona, Achat Mina Tichona Shep Tichonot. He says it's one of the middle Mishmorot. Okay, so now v'rebinata miktiv tichonish v'tichonot tichonaktiv. Okay, so we gave the hezber for the tzad that holds that there are rebinata, there are three mishmarot. Now the Gemara says, my time of the Rebbe. What's the reason for Rebbe who holds that there are four mishmarot? So Amr Bezrika, Amr Bami, Amr Bishuban Levi, Tuvachar Omer, Chatzot Laila, Kum Lo Dot Lecha, Mishpatei Kecha. One pasuk says in Tehillim, I know you like this, Alan, that in the middle of the night I get up to give you praise for your laws, for your righteous laws. This is talking about David HaMelech. V'ketuva kadomer, kidmu einai ashmorot. My eyes, like, preceded the ashmorot. In other words, when I got up, there were still ashmorot, plural, remaining to be done. Haketzad, ar mishmorot habilayla. So he says, how do I reconcile the psukim? That David HaMelech gets up at midnight, and there are still there's two mishmorot to go. Rabbi Natan, so that's Rabbi. Rabbi Natan, Savalak, Rabbi Shua. So Rabbi Natan will hold like Rabbi Shua. It's done. Rabbi Shua Meir, Ad Shlosha Oach, King Derek Malachim Lamod, B'Shlosha Oach. So we didn't have this yet, but it's coming up fast and furious. If whoever's still around by next Sunday, that's the Mishnah there. So it says, Kriyat Shema in the morning, according to, I think, Rabbi Yeshua, is till 3 hours in the day, because that's when kings or B'nai Malachim get up. Now, when we say 3 hours in the day, so let's say the day would be 6 a.m., 6 p.m. So the first hour would be from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. The second hour is from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. The third hour is from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. So he means the beginning of the third hour. That's the way he takes it. So till 8 a.m. So take a look. So shit delalia. So this is the way that Rabbi Natan will explain the psukim, that if you get up at midnight, you have 6 hours left in the night. He says, "Tari to dimama," and you have 2 hours left in the day to the beginning of the third hour. He says, "Habaluhu shtei mishmarot." So 8 hours is two mishmarot. So it says, "Kidmuei nai ashmarot," like my eyes preceded was the kidmuei ashmarot. My eyes, David HaMelech says, I got up at midnight, and my eyes preceded ashmarot. He means my eyes preceded the amount of time that would be contained in two ashmarot, right? Because each ashmarot has 4 hours. So when I get up, until
everybody gets up in the morning, which is like the tail end of the kings, so it's 8 hours. Rav Ashi has a more simpler answer. Rav Ashi Amar, Mishmar Palatin, Ami Mishmar Karu Lahu. He says that he calls it, right, it's a Mishmar and a half, then skip the previous shot. There was this one and a half Mishmar left. He calls that Mishmarot. Okay? Okay, so we had about the Machloket, we explained what it's doing. Okay, we only have a few minutes left. We have time for 30 seconds for questions. Anybody, quick question? What's up?
What was the point of going into a ruin?
You're going what?
Going into
what?
The ruin.
Why did he go into the ruin? Yeah, so one shot I quoted from the Kotev, it didn't mean, according to that shot, that he actually entered a ruin. It meant that he was being mispalel concerning the Korban Beis HaMikdash. That the content of his tefillah related to the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Or it might be that it might actually be when the Makom HaMikdash is. But
he said he wanted to be the border.
Right. He said, right. Right. That's true. He went in there because he wanted to be in a quiet place also. Right. Okay. Yeah, I got to go.
I'm sorry. Still in the Mishnah, how can you conclude that Rabbi Elazar holds that there are only three Ashmaros? He only says that so far Ashmar Rishon.
No. The Gemara, right. That's all he says. But the Gemara established that he holds that there are
based
three Ashmaros. But other sources.
Yeah, but based on what are the sources? That's the question.
Okay, now the second line. Now, this only is connected because we quoted Rabbi Zrika, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi before. Sometimes Gemara quotes a Chacham, and they quote other statements that he makes, even though it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But Amar Rabbi Zrika, Amar Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in Om Rebifnei Amed, El Dvarv Shalmeid, one cannot speak in the presence of a dead person, only things that relate to that dead person. Means like the Hesped, things like that, or taking care of him. So Rabbi Abba Kana says that he's talking about Divrei Torah. It means, if I'm discussing Divrei Torah, so the live people have an obligation to discuss Divrei Torah and be osek with Divrei Torah. The dead person is not able to participate in Divrei Torah. So it's like, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Loi la rash kereif oseyu. When a person is like making fun of a poor person, so he's like kereif oseyu. He's like disgracing the Ribono Shalom. It's not right to do that. So when he says that you can only discuss in the B'fnei Amet, it means the Divrei Torah should all be related to the Hesped. You shouldn't be learning Daf Yomi in the presence of a dead person, like in the coffin. Says so. Lo amar lo b'divrei Torah. Umilu da amar leit lamba. But ika da amri. Some say amar bi abba bar kana. Lo amar and lo afilu b'divrei Torah. But close came to the dama. No, that he meant that even you can't discuss other things. In other words, you should only be discussing things that relate to the mace. And you say even divrei Torah, like you know, it's not like the all like you get the green card if you're discussing divrei Torah. I can do whatever I want. Like even divrei Torah, you shouldn't discuss in the presence of the mace. The Mechaber Pasen is like the first opinion. Okay, now
from Tehillim too. Lo mace mi haluka.
All right. Now we're on the sixth wide line. Okay. Okay. Now, V'David Pelka Lalya Habakoi. So David HaMelech got up at midnight, the Gemara says, Me'orta Habakoi. He got up from the beginning of the evening. Dichtiv Kidamti Baneshef Ba'ashabeya. I got up in the early evening and I cried out. Numaidai Neshef Ortuhu. How did you know that Neshef means evening? Dichtiv Baneshef Ba'erev. In the evening, in darkness. So So it means like this, that one pasuk says that David HaMelech will get up at midnight, that we had before, where chatzot laila akum lecha, that is four lines above work out wide. Another pasuk says baneshev be'erev, I got up kidamti baneshev ashabeya, I got up at neshev, which is like nightfall. So he says that he would always get up at nightfall, but he would never let midnight pass when he was sleeping. So sometimes he might sleep in the beginning of the night, but always by midnight he was up, but typically he was up at the beginning of the night. Rabbi Zera Amar, Achatzot Laila Yamin Amnim Kisus. Rabbi Zera has a different shot. He says, up until midnight, David HaMelech was sort of like snoozing like a horse. Like the Gemara learns that the horse sleeps Shitin Nishme, like 60 breaths. So it relates to how much time has to pass before you're mechuyev to do Netilas Yadayim, and for other dinim, also for brachot. So Shitin Nishme, some want to say that there's 1,080 halakim in an hour. Someone has said that each chalak is one nishme. So so 60 nishme would be 3.5 minutes. Someone has said it's 3.5 minutes. But some say no, it's like 20 minutes. Some say 30 minutes. Anyway, but things like this. So he was benanim kisos, I mean, he's not sleeping more than 20, 30 minutes or 3.5 minutes. So the elach. he says Mikan ve'ilachem et gaber kari. Then after that, he would get up like a lion and ready for full all cylinders. Rav Ashi Amar at chatzot laila yosek b'divrei Torah till chatzot he was osek b'divrei Torah. That's what means the pasuk that we said b'neshe ba'erav b'yom b'shom. No, kidamti b'neshe ba'ashaveya. He was osek b'Torah Mikan ve'ilach b'shirot b'tishbachot. And then at midnight, he's like with Tehillim with songs of praise to Hashem. Now the Gemara says, I got to keep moving. The neshef ortahu, ha neshef tzafrahu. Is neshef the evening? Neshef is the morning. He says that tibay akim David mei neshef yada erev l'malchuratam. That David smote them. I think he's talking about the Amalekim at the end of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Mei ha neshef yada erev l'malchuratam. So we think it means from morning till evening l'malchuratam, meaning like the next day after they had encamped. He says, "My love meets Safra v'Yalalia." Does it not mean from morning to evening? Lo me orta v'Yadorta means from evening to evening. There was a battle from Neshef means evening and Erev means evening. Ihachi l'kto me Neshef yada Neshef only Erev yada Erev. That's the case. So the pasuk should be consistent. Say Neshef or Erev Erev. Ela Marava trei Nishvehavu. Rather, Rava says Neshef can mean one of two things. Neshef can mean evening or Neshef can mean morning, and you have to judge it by the context. Neshef Lelia. I'm sorry. Trei nishvehavu. Nashaf leilya ba'ati yamama. It means the Lila is departed, and then the day comes. And Rashi connects this to the word, like, linshof is like to jump, like, you know, to clear out. So he says, nashaf leilya ba'ati yamama, nashaf yamama ba'ati leilya. In other words, the day clears out, and then night comes. So, but the ones here seem to be neshef is Lila. Okay, now, the Gemara says, v'davi mihava yada pagadolya emad. How did David Melch know when it was midnight, that he gets up at midnight to sing Shir to Hashem? Hashta Moshe Rabbeinu lo haba yada. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when midnight was. Dechtiv ka chatzor alayla niyotze betoch Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to speak to Paro, and he says, this is the 10th Makkah, and he says, this is what Hashem says, around midnight, I'm going to go out and smite all your Bechorim. Just one minute, please. The whole thoughts till I pause, okay? My kachatzot, what does it mean kachatzot? Ilema da amar lekuchabruchu kachatzot. If we think that Hashem, what, in other words, Hashem speaks to Moshe, the Moshe speaks to Paro. So what did Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Did he say kachatzot alayla? Mi'ika sveika kami shemaya. Is there any sveika before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Il da amar le bachatzot. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, at chatzot I'm going through. The ata ihu va'amar kachatzot. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, around midnight. So Rashi and Chumash says that like the Egyptians would, the Stagini Paro would make a mistake. But the point is that man is not capable, at least, of determining the exact midnight. So here Moshe Rabbeinu is not sure when midnight is. David knows when midnight is. So the Gemara says, David simana habalei. David had like an inside track to midnight. He says, the Amar Bacha bar Biznam, and you all know this Gemara, Kinoraya talui lamala mitoshal David, there was a harp hanging above the bed of David HaMelech, the came and shigia chatzot laila, when chatzot came, ba'ruach tzifoni noshevet bo, the wind from the north would come and blow in it, umenage milav, by itself it would play music. Miyaro yumeid vosek b'torah, so he would get up and be osek b'torah al shal v'shachar. And it's an Indian, you know, like here you see David HaMelech is studying from midnight, but Alpi Kabbalah, there's a big positive to study Torah from like midnight to dawn in that period. He says, the coming would come to him, Amrulo, Adorinu HaMelech, Amchai Yisrael Shrikhan Parnasa. We have economic problems. Klal Yisrael needs support. So Amar Lehem, Lechuvet Parnasu Zemizei. Why don't we each support one another? Amrulo, they said, in a komets must be ari. The komets, we know this from Menachot Tzavachim, and the komets is like the fistful, right? But in other words, like a little bit is not enough to satisfy the lion. We only have a little bit. Bina bormit malei mechuliato. So the boar, a pit, can't be filled with its own dirt. It means if I have a pit, and then I take more dirt out of it, I can't fill the pit with the dirt I'm taking out now. Or it can mean that even if I dig out a pit, a different shot, and I put the dirt back, the dirt that I put back is not enough to fill the pit because some of the dirt disappears along the way. So Amar Lahem, Lechu Pishtui Deitam B'Gedud, he says, go and you're going to attack these marauding troops that are invading our country. Miad Yotzim Ba'Achitofel, so they would take counsel from Achitofel, one of the David's Melech's advisors, and Imlachim Sanhedrin, they would consult the Sanhedrin, and Rashi says that they would get Rishus, so the Sanhedrin would pray for them. Visholim Ba'ur Metumim, so there's a three step here. They speak to Achitofel, they consult the Sanhedrin, and then they ask the Ur Metumim to see whether they'll be successful. So Amar Rav Yosef, you still with me, Zachary? Amar Rav Yosef.
Yeah.
Okay, Amar Rav Yosef, Mikra, Ba'achareha, what's the pasuk that supports that? That was was the order I got run. Okay, Achitofel is the Yoetz. Achitofel is the advisor. In other words, Achitofel was brilliant, and he went off with Avshalom, David Melech's son, but his advice that he gave was the best, and Avshalom didn't want to follow him, and he committed suicide. But the thing is, he's an advisor. Benayahu ben Yehudah is a Sanhedrin. Benayahu ben Yehudah was first Sanhedrin. Benayahu ben Yehudah was Abbezdin. His name was Sefer, right? The Ben Yishchai wrote a Sefer. Benayahu ben Yehudah. One would say for Benayahu, the other Ben Yehudah. Okay, now, the Evyatar, Ilu Urim Tumim. Evyatar is a reference to the Urim Tumim. Evyatar is a Kohen, but he's got the Urim Tumim. The Chenu Omer, Ubenayahu ben Yehudah al HaKreti ve'al HaPleiti. Ubenayahu ben Yehudah like precedes the Kreti and the Pleiti. The way Rashi learns, Kreti and Pleiti is a reference to the Urim Tumim. Tosus learns it's a reference to the Sanhedrin. But Lamanik Rashamam Kreti Pleiti, we do Rashi and then we gotta go, is why is the Urim Tumim called Kreti Pleiti? Kreti shekortim divrayim, that their words are concise, succinct, to the point, from the Urim Tumim. Pleiti shemuflaim b'divrayim, they're wondrous in the world. And with the light, the stones light up, they give you the message. V'acharkach sartzvala melech Yoav, and then the sartzvala came out was Yoav. Okay, that's the order. I think that's that for tonight. Okay, I gotta go. Listen, if anybody hasn't signed the sheet, they should sign it now. And anybody doesn't have the sheet, the sheet's a handout.